turn with me, please, over to Ephesians chapter 3 and follow along as I read, beginning at verse 14. Ephesians 3 and 14. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place, and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what you have written. We know we have just read your word to us today. We know we've read the truth. There is not one error here. We invite you to speak to us, to speak to our hearts, to our minds, to our lives. We want to understand what you have said, and we want your help to apply it, not to our neighbors, but to ourselves. And as a result of our time spent together looking into your word, pray, Father, that we will be better prepared to serve you this week. Surely this week will be no more challenging than last. There were surprises. There were things that happened that we just didn't anticipate. But even in the surprises, you let us know that you were there. Nothing caught you off guard. Nothing you couldn't use to show us yourself once again. And so, Father, may we be prepared for this week, trusting all the more because you were faithful over last week. May our confidence be in you, not in ourselves, but in you. Simply learning to trust you. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father. What's he talking about? Well, whenever he says something like, for this reason, or therefore, or since, we have to look back. And we only have to go back one verse. Verse 13 says, therefore I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulation on your behalf, for they are your glory. Paul met the church in Ephesus on his third missionary journey. He went back to Jerusalem. He was arrested and sent to Rome. Not because Rome was so angry with him, but because the religious elite in Jerusalem were angry with him. They were angry with him because he had the audacity to believe that the blood of Christ covered the sins of all, not just Jews. And it did it so well, so efficiently, that not only do you not need to, as a Gentile, become a Jew to be saved, you just have to fall at the foot of the cross. And so Paul is imprisoned in Rome because God loved the Ephesians. And he demonstrated that through the life of Paul. So because of this, for this reason, because I'm in prison, and as a result, it's in obedience to the Father and to your glory, I bow my knees before the Father. He's in control. And one of the things I learned early from the Apostle Paul was he just wanted to share the gospel and it didn't matter to whom or where. We like to orchestrate these things. We tend to think that our ministers are those who are up front and teaching and out there and available, and we forget that there are folks teaching the gospel everywhere, and we can take it anywhere, anytime, and take the opportunities that God gives us to share with anyone. Will they all respond? Well, yeah, yes, they will all respond. Positively, no. But some will. So he says, I bow my knees before the Father. He's in charge. I think, he doesn't say it, but I think he is just as content sharing the gospel with the Praetorian Guard as he was sharing the gospel in the marketplace in Ephesus. And there are hints that he was equally effective. So he recognizes his Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father, is in absolute control. And it is from him, verse 15, every family in heaven and on earth derive its name. And again, Judah had become so provincial as to think that God only loved Israel, and by the way, only part of Israel. But that God only loved Israel and had come to sent Jesus to redeem only Israel. But in fact, the promise was given in Genesis 3. It was given again in Genesis 12 to two Gentiles. We'll call them Gentiles because they certainly weren't Jews. There were none at that time. But God had already promised a Redeemer for the world. So from every family in heaven and on earth, derive its name from him, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. That's grace. That's the first part of verse 16. That he would grant you according to his riches of his glory, or his grace. He would grant his grace, or through his grace, these gifts. Or gift. I had Jeremy put it that way because I think you will see that while we're going to identify gifts, it really all boils down to one. Hint. Spoiler alert. It all revolves around the love of Christ. It all revolves around Jesus. The first gift, though, is at the end of verse 16. To be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Now, my Bible capitalizes the word Spirit. So you know that the translators made this commentary assumption that this is a reference to the Holy Spirit, and I think they are absolutely correct. When we think in terms of the power that we have, we should automatically think in terms of the Holy Spirit within us. If we look at a pastor, teacher, communicator, and all we see is his charisma, his ability to communicate, all of the things that he uses to communicate, to get his message across, if that's all we see, then we've missed it. Because the real power that God has given to his church is the Holy Spirit. Men and women in various roles, gifted by the Holy Spirit. When you have seen the gifts of the Holy Spirit, when you see someone acting beyond their natural ability, we want to be careful. When God's word has clearly communicated to your heart and to your mind, that's not the work of a specially trained teacher. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And if all you ever see is a man who seems to be able to communicate very well, you've not seen the Spirit of God. Paul uses the word power on purpose. That's the source of our power, his Holy Spirit. It's natural. We leave a worship service and we think, the music was great today. Special was super. Tied right in with the pastor's message. Pastor hit, every point right on target. It was wonderful. And if that's it, either we weren't paying attention, or that really is all we saw, and the Holy Spirit wasn't there and it wasn't working. We should regularly see things beyond what should naturally happen. We have this gift strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Secondly, first part of verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Sound familiar? That Christ may dwell in your hearts. That's grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's grace. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. By grace, through faith. It always seems to come back to that, doesn't it? Especially in the book of Ephesians. For by grace have you been saved through faith, not of works, not of yourself, so that we can do any kind of personal boasting or look at me. No. God's grace, undeserved, unmerited, unbelievable, by faith. We simply believe the unbelievable. That Christ may dwell in your hearts
through faith.
Now we know, this sounds like we're trying to parse things awfully closely, but remember, Jesus told his disciples before the cross, I'm going away so that the Father will send another comforter, and later he identified him as the Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Equally God in three persons. So that things don't get crowded, the Son leaves, the Spirit comes. The Spirit testifies of the Son, Jesus said. The Spirit is the one that lives within the hearts of all believers. Not optional. It's not only if you're really good or special. It's by definition. Child of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Christ dwells in our hearts in the person of his Holy Spirit through faith. Not because I deserve it, not because I've earned it. I believe it. That God said what he meant and meant what he said. And then the last part of verse 17 and verse 18. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. And it just ends right there. Rooted and grounded in love. When I think in terms of being rooted and grounded, I think in terms of a foundation. What's underneath everything? What's holding everything else up? What's the bedrock of this? Where's the real strength in all of this? Well, he says we are rooted and grounded. We have been given this foundation in love. For God so loved, Jesus loved. It's the choice they made on our behalf. Just as it's not an emotion on our part, it's not an emotion on God's part either. It's a choice that he made. He chooses to unconditionally love us. So there's the foundation, but we are limited. Paul wrote in one language, you and I don't read or understand that. We struggle sometimes with the English. People who know a whole lot more than we do took that and created then this English to help us. And that's why it seems a little awkward. That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints, other believers, other folks within the church, that we might comprehend with them what is the breadth, length, height, and depth of what? Well, he doesn't really say. Here. But look ahead a little bit at verse 19. And to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. So that's the fourth gift. To know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. What's he saying? Church. With the foundation that you have, understand the breadth, the length, and height, and depth of God's love. And what is that? It is unknowable. In the sense that you can't get to the bottom of it. You can't get to the length of it. You can't get to the height of it. You can't get to the depth of it. No matter where you are, there's still more. He never runs out of love. We try the very best of our ability to reflect that as parents, don't we? Unconditional love for our children. It's a little seed that's growing in your heart right now, right? You look at Ryan and you go, he's perfect. Someday he's going to do something that will test your love for him. But you will love him because he can't get to the bottom of it. And when we start talking about our Heavenly Father, you kick it all out. He never runs out of love for us. Because, now let's refocus here on this fourth gift, to know the love of Christ. Yes, God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten, his only unique, his one and only Son. Yes, that's true. God loved, therefore he gave. But Jesus came. We will learn in Philippians 2, he laid aside almost all that it means to be God so that he could take upon himself the form of man, still God, take on the form of man so that he could die for our sins. Yes, God the Father loved. Jesus gave. Jesus came, submitted to the will of the Father, and die for your sins and mine. How great does God love us? Look at the cross. But also see there Jesus' great love for us. Many have concluded that that's really what kept him on the cross. His love for you. He could have come down. He didn't have to do that. But he did because he loved you. And he told his disciples the night before, what I'm about to do, what's going to happen here, is also that you can spend eternity with me. If I don't do this, you can't. You won't. But because I do, I will, and you will too. His love. For us, the love of Christ. And in that, you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. That is, to the extent that we can experience any of this here and now, and the limitations that are ours. These bodies where we still battle with our sinful human nature. We have seen played out before us over and over and over again the love of God, the love of Christ Jesus. And in that, all that God is, the fullness of God. And so that is why. Well, there are gifts here because God chose to love the world. We have power. We've been given faith. We have a foundation, but it is all based upon the love of Christ. His submission to the will of the Father, his willingness to go to the cross, his willingness to take upon himself the sins of the world, so that any Jew or Gentile, male, female, slave, free, black, white, it doesn't matter, anyone who comes to the cross recognizing Jesus as Savior and Lord will know the forgiveness of sins. and will become a child of God. Now, just as this power is the Holy Spirit, well, let's not be surprised when we look at these last two verses in conclusion, verses 20 and 21, we will see His power, His glory. Very important. Now, to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, God. And regularly, we're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. According to the power that works within us, the Holy Spirit, Christ, in the person of the Holy Spirit, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. His power, His glory. When we've gotten together, or as you work through the week, a new baby, a broken leg, four teenagers roll a car. These things happen. And in each case, you step back and you see God's grace. His power, His glory. Together, we see the power of God. Is it appropriate to thank Rick for all he does to help with the music? Absolutely. And if Pastor brings things in under the time limit and nobody throws anything, is it okay to say, hey, thanks? Sure. But when it's all over with, if you have seen and heard the power of God, make sure He gets the glory. Make sure you pause at some point and say, yeah, it was a great time to gather as a family and to worship. But right in the middle of it was God Himself. And make sure that He gets the glory, His power, His glory. Now, Paul does something here. He says, amen. And you might think he's done. Except, you know, there's three more chapters. But what he's done is he spent this time laying the groundwork. Some of this has been kind of deep. We've struggled with understanding some of this. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 are the answer to the so what question. If we are saved by grace through faith in Christ, how does it impact, fill in the blank? How does it impact things at home? How does it impact relationships at work? He will tell us. Take the truths that you have learned and apply them. So, he's not done. He's just finished with his life. And now we start the work of applying. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and thank you for its truthfulness. I pray, Father, that we've handled it accurately and in a way that you can use to instruct us, encourage us, challenge us. What a wonderful truth that you love the world and you set in motion a plan to redeem the world that included everyone. Not everyone's going to respond. Not everyone's going to receive this great gift, but it's available to all. You didn't exclude any. Because your love has no limits. Not even for a moment. So Father, we thank you. May we be prepared this week to make the appropriate application, to see how this fits in our lives. And to be reminded again that we have been the recipients of great grace, undeserved, unmerited. Because of the finished work of your Son, our Savior, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.